In life, there are givers and there are takers. Of course, it's not all completely black and white, but here's a picture of it. Imagine a table, two people sitting either side of the table, and a pile of money in the middle of the table, and somebody says go, and those two take the money until it's all gone. Now, the one who is faster will probably end up with more. And then they sit there holding their money, one more than the other. Here's another picture. It begins the same way. Two people sitting either side of a table with a pile of money in the middle, and somebody says go. And they take the money from the middle. But as they take the money, they start giving it to the other person. And they keep on giving it. And the money keeps going between them both. Same amount of money, same amount of people, but are completely different. One just comes to an abrupt end, and even an unfair one. The other one keeps going, and between them, I keep giving. This is the difference between givers and takers. And Christians, the picture of the church is meant to be as givers, people who give and bless one another. And you can see it in the way we live our lives, be it in our cars, be it in our homes, how we treat our own money, how we volunteer. You see, givers know that they've been blessed and they see life as there to be given away. Takers who are not really connected with God see life more as something to survive. But it's all about perspective. And our identity, whether we can become, whether we are givers or whether we want to become givers. If I asked you what the average life is for men and women in the UK, women tend to live slightly longer. But what about if I asked you what's the life of Christians in the UK? You might come up with a figure. But the Christian perspective to that is forever. Because Christians, their life, their spiritual life, physical life, yes, comes to an end, but their life goes on and on for all eternity. And they have a different perspective. And they see that life, this life is just a short part of their life. And we're here to give away. And it's really interesting, as I prepared this, I was thinking, well, the difference is that they, when they go to God, they get from God. But as I came to God in prayer about this, he said, no, when you first come to me, you must give. And I thought, oh, well, that slightly surprised me. And I kind of asked God, well, what does that look like? What I want you to do is to imagine a door. As you get up each morning in your home, there's a door. There's probably several. But this particular door is a metaphorical door. And it is Jesus. And God invites you to walk through that door into Christ every day. But before you get to that door, God says, what have you got to lay down? And what we've got to lay down is our day, our worries, our sin, even our success, our failure. We can put it all at the door before we even wake, or at the foot of the cross, if you want to look at it like that. And as we lay it down, in other words, it's an act of surrender, an act of giving to God. And it's a daily one. And then we choose to walk through that door that is Christ. You see, my children, they don't ever worry about money, whether they have a home to live in, whether they have clothes to wear, whether they're going to get to school or not, whether they're going to get any love, going to get any food. They don't worry about these things. Mummy and daddy will provide all that. And that's not wrong. They're at an age now, as teenagers, where I'm trying to teach them that, no, they've got to look after themselves, because one day you've got to look after yourselves. But at the moment, mummy and daddy will look after them. And that should be a picture for us as children. Our Heavenly Father should look after our day. We should never fear the day. We should surrender the day. And then we walk through that door, which is Jesus, every day. But the extraordinary thing is what we walk into. Now, I think the Western society has corrupted this, because it says we are a Christian. But the Bible doesn't really ever say that we are a Christian. It says we come into the family of God. We come into the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ, but even that is plural. We come into the family of God. We're not so much a child of God as children of God. And we come into that plural, that place which is plural. And Westerners, in our Western individualistic survive on your own, and particularly the sort of English, you know, I'm my castle, I'm my own castle, I survive on my own, is completely unbiblical. Even when we come to church, it's not me coming to church. You are church. You come to be church, to give into church. You come to give into God. You come to give to one another. That's why you came here today, I hope, to give to God, to give to those you meet. That's the purpose of church. You don't come to church, you are church. It's a bit like, if you like, a fireman. If a fireman doesn't go to the fire station and doesn't fight fires, there's only so long he's a fireman. After a while, he can dress in a fireman's outfit, but that doesn't make him a fireman. He's got to go to the fire station, and then he's got to go out and fight fires. For a Christian, you've got to come and be church, and then you've got to go out and share the good news. That's what defines you as a Christian, or as a family of God. It's something we do, and we do together. You can't just call yourself a Christian. A Christian is somebody who is the family of God and goes out with the good news of God. And the depth of this is quite extraordinary. In John 17, in our reading, it said this. This is Jesus's prayer. The prayer is not for them alone, those who he's just been praying for. I pray also for those who believe in me. That's the family of God. Through their message. That all of them, do you hear that? Be one. So we are one, but a corporate one. But that's not the extraordinary thing. Father, just as you and me, just as you are in me and I am in you. We are called to be, the family of God is called into God as the Father is with the Son, as the Holy Spirit is with the Father. As the Trinity is one, Jesus is saying, we're called to be one with God. Such is the depth of God. So we are never individuals. We are in God. As Jesus is with the Heavenly Father, we are with the Heavenly Father and Jesus. And as Father is with Jesus, so we are with each other. We become one. Which is why in marriage, the marriage ceremony, say the two become one. Because marriage in the Bible is a picture of the church, the bride of Christ, with Christ. They become one. So marriage is a picture of that. It's extraordinary. And tonight we have a prayer meeting. And the reason I called it As One is because, and it's a whole church meeting. It's not for special prayers or people who are good at praying. It is for everyone. Because God wants us to be one. And this does cost us something. Remember, last week, love that costs. It will cost us something to be one. It will cost us to give and be generous and to be givers to each other. But let's get practical. So remember, in the first week, I said we need to go on Monday, wherever we are on Monday, we need to move church to Monday because we are church. And wherever God sends us on Monday, that's where we're sent as missionaries. If you're a Christian, you're sent as a missionary to your home, to your social place, to your workplace, to your neighborhood. That's where God has called you to. And he's called you to go with a love that costs to that place with the good news. And the good news you share by prayer, by care, by sharing that good news. And remember, I gave you 3 years to do this. Pick 3 people, and over 3 years, with a love that costs, pray for them, care for them, and share God with them. And I'll keep going on about this because this is who the church is. Just as a fireman's called to fight fires, we are called to go, to pray, to care, and to share in the communities for those who do not know the love of God. And you are called. You are that person. That's how they're going to know the good news. That's why this country stopped growing, the church has stopped growing, is because the church has stopped going. The church doesn't grow unless the church goes. But that's hard. So God has given us himself and his family. And we need daily to choose to be God's family, to walk through that door, to leave our stuff at the door, to walk through it. And as we walk through that door into the family, God does give to us as well, because he's a giver. He gave us his son so we can walk through that door. When we walk through that door, he gives us fruit. Fruit to give away. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. There's a few of those I really need. I need those fruit. Otherwise, you're not going to like me. But you probably don't anyway, so I'm praying for fruit for some of them. To give away to you. I want fruit to give to you. That God's given me, I want to give it to you. He also has given us gifts to do stuff in the family. To pray. To serve. People serving the coffee. They've gifts of hospitality. It's not a job to serve the coffee. It's a calling to serve the coffee. It's a ministry to be a blessing of hospitality. And God has all given everybody a gift. What's yours? Are you using it? Give it away. But I also want you, just as Jesus had 12 disciples, which you might call, if you've got a growth group, it might be like your growth group. But he also had 3 special people around him, which Jesus shared more and did more with. And I want to invite you to find some people around you to be that intimate with, though 3 people, possibly 3, maybe less, maybe more, but a few people who you can really be accountable to. Now, your job is to give to those 3 people. Their job might be to give to you, but your job is not to receive from those people, it's to give. And once again, I invite you to pray for them. These are your church family. Pray for your family. As Jesus prayed for his family, you need to pray for your family, for whatever their needs are. You need to care for your family. It's not just the vicar's job, who's not very good at it anyway. It's your job to care for one another. And it's also your job to share. In this case, I'm talking about God's word, the Bible. We're meant to learn together. You don't need a degree in theology to understand the Bible. You just need God. And as you walk through that door, let me tell you, there are people, I know people who can't read and write, and yet they seem to know the Bible better than me. It's quite incredible, because the Bible is revealed by God. But what an amazing thing it would be, is if a church, we've got people who we come to give, to pray for, to share for, to care for, every week, every day if we can. What an amazing place. But it will cost us something, because love costs. It does cost. It's not easy. It will cost us to care. Some of us, that comes naturally to pray. Others, it'll be hard to. Some of you praying and you come to every prayer meeting. Some of you, it'll be really tough to turn up tonight to the prayer meeting. It's only half an hour. I'll try and make it a really safe place and not awkward for anybody, even if you find prayer really difficult, even if you've never prayed out loud, I'll make it safe for you. But it will cost you something. Others are great at caring. It comes naturally to you. Some of us find it hard to care. It will cost us something. Others find it hard to start through the Bible. We need help from others. We need help from God. But we are all called to pray, to care, and to share. And you can do that and gather that small group. If you find it hard to do that, then come to me or Joe. We'll find people to connect you to partner with on that. And just one other last thing. In this, there are some giving as well. If you feel called maybe to those giving things we've got in terms of financial giving, the things that are really challenging us at the moment as a church, we're looking for new things for a new church tent and a generator so we can do free and for nothing locally. That's really about going. We're looking for resources for a new photocopier, and we're looking for new sound equipment. Some of you complain about the sound here. We're trying to make it better. And maybe God's calling you to be a giver. Because I've found that financially, it's got givers are not people necessarily with lots of money. They're just simply people with a generous heart. And as they give, God looks after them. That's the way it's meant to be. Otherwise, you just end up with that pile of money you take and you hold on to it, and that's the end. But God's all about give, give, give. And just lastly, yesterday, Joe asked me to come and help with Messy Church. Well, I'd done 100 things that day. I'd just been for a long run. I was incredibly tired. And I felt God say, James, remember, you're a giver. So I turned up with a whole different attitude. I thought, no, I'm coming and I'm coming to give. And all of a sudden, I found I had energy. I had one or two amazing conversations with a couple of people because I changed my attitude to be a giver. Rather than, poor James, he's tired. He's done enough today. I'm not going to Messy Church. And everything changed when I decided that I was going to be a giver. So let's be a church who are givers. Amen.